So I'm Donnie. I'm a developer at PagerDuty, and I'm one of the people who investigate outages to figure out what went wrong and what we need to change to make sure that it doesn't happen again. I'm going to be talking about one problem that we found with ZooKeeper that caused several outages for us. Can I get a show of hands? How many of you know about PagerDuty? Pretty much everyone. Great. This is SREcon. And how many of you are familiar with ZooKeeper? Show of hands. Oh, wow. Most people. For those who don't know, I'll give a quick intro. ZooKeeper is a distributed system which is useful for building other distributed systems. So it's used by Kafka, by Spark, and a lot of other things. What it gives you is an in-memory database where you can create files, directories, you can watch them for changes, you can atomically update the contents of them, and the idea is that you can then build other primitives on top of those. So you can build locks, semaphores, service discovery, other useful things like that. And we like it because it is highly available. Oh, wait. What we use it for at PagerDuty is distributed locking. We use Cassandra pretty heavily, but Cassandra doesn't have transactions, and those are very useful. We can't really add them to Cassandra, but we can kind of work around it a bit. One of the techniques that we use is we use ZooKeeper for distributed locking, where before we operate on some data in Cassandra, we'll take a lock on that, and then you update the data in Cassandra, and then you release the ZooKeeper lock. And we like Cassandra, we like ZooKeeper because it's highly available. The way that it works is it operates as a cluster, where first it will elect a leader, then all of the writes flow through the leader. That's how it gives you consistency. And if the leader fails, one of the followers will take over. At least that's what's supposed to happen. We had a problem that what happened was we would have some sort of trouble with the network. We would have packet loss or latency. One follower would fall behind. And then a little while after that, the entire cluster would be stuck. The leader would still be up, but you wouldn't actually be able to read or write anything in ZooKeeper. And that manifested in a couple of different ways. In one case, the entire cluster would just freeze after the follower had trouble. So the number one is where a follower had trouble. Number two, in both cases, is where the entire cluster locked up. But in one case, the entire cluster would just lock up. In the other one, the one on the right, at 1.5, the leader would actually fall behind the rest of the cluster. And this seems pretty unintuitive that it can happen, but in a lot of replication kinds of systems, unless you're explicitly checking that the leader is part of the majority that you replicated to, you could replicate it and you could get back only the followers replicating things, and so the leader could fall behind the rest of the cluster. And that's actually not a problem here. The problem is that the entire cluster would lock up. And this is very bad for us. Because we need to take a ZooKeeper lock before we write into Cassandra, if ZooKeeper is stuck, it means that we can't really do anything. The way that we would resolve this when it happened is that first we just tried restarting ZooKeeper on all of the nodes in the cluster, and it would recover immediately. But a little while later, we realized that we only had to kill the leader, and then one of the followers would take over, and everything would be fine. We spent a while investigating this and trying to reproduce it. One of the findings that we had was that there was something suspicious in the logs on the leader. It had this line, too busy to snap, skipping. What ZooKeeper does is every certain number of operations, it'll take a snapshot of the in-memory database and write it out to disk. But if it's already in the process of writing it out to disk, then it won't try and do it a second time. It will just log this line and it'll skip it. So we wanted to try to reproduce this. And this is actually fairly easy to simulate. There's a useful tool called SSHFS, which lets you mount a remote directory on any machine that you have SSH access to. So we did that, changed the ZooKeeper config to store the data on that remote directory, And then you can just use whatever network tools you want to, like IP tables to block or TC to restrict bandwidth. And then it ends up showing up as the disk being slow or having problems. And when we did this, we ended up with a similar failure profile to what we had seen in production, where sometimes you can get the entire cluster to stop completely, but sometimes the leader will fall behind first, and then the entire cluster will stop completely. But after we looked a little bit more, we decided that this probably wasn't what was happening in production, because the database that ZooKeeper has, you're not supposed to keep very much information in it, so the entire snapshot would just be the low tens of megs, and it would only take snapshot for us every few minutes, and we decided that it really wasn't likely that it was taking that long to write it out to disk. One of the other things that we had found from these outages was that when we had this problem, we weren't getting alerted with a nice friendly alert saying that ZooKeeper is stuck. Instead, we were getting alerted by our regular application monitoring, which was sending out an alert saying that things are slow or things are backing up. And we did have a check that we were using for ZooKeeper. We were using the "Are you OK" command. It's where you connect to ZooKeeper, you send it "Are you OK?" and it sends back the text "I am OK." But during this whole outage, all of the outages that we had had, that "Are you OK?" check was fine. It was passing, and so it was only the application that was letting us know what was happening. What we ended up adding was a deeper health check that we would use. This was just implemented client-side, where we would connect to ZooKeeper, we would do a write and then a read, and if both of those passed, then it was okay. And what we had found was that this ended up giving us advance warning the next time this happened, so we had a little bit more time to gather information and that would help us debug the problem. So when it happened the next time, we ended up getting this stack trace. This is on the leader when it's trying to send a snapshot to the follower. And this ended up telling us what was going wrong in ZooKeeper. So at number one, we're sending the snapshot to the follower. At number two, we're taking a regular Java synchronized lock on a data node. That's just an individual item in the database. And then at number three, we're writing it out over the network to the follower. The problem is that all of the processing for ZooKeeper is done in a series of threads. So first it'll get your request, it'll do a little bit of processing, then another thread, it'll replicate it to a follower, and then it'll write it to disk, and then it will do the actual applying it in memory. And some of those threads need to take this same Java lock on the item that they're going to be processing. So what would happen is you have this one thread writing it out to the follower, hanging when it's trying to write over the network, and then the other threads that are doing the processing are getting blocked when they try to take that lock. And this also ends up explaining why we saw it happen in two different ways. Depending on what operation you're doing in ZooKeeper, you might need to take that this Java lock at the beginning of the chain, in which case the entire cluster will freeze, or you might only need it at the end of the chain, in which case you'll be able to still replicate to followers, and then it's only the leader itself that will block for a little while, but then eventually you'll end up doing an operation that will take it at the beginning of the chain, and everything freezes. We have the code here. This is just a stripped down version of what the code was, just to give you an idea of what happened. So when we're trying to write out to the follower, we synchronize on the individual data item, then we write it out over the network, and that's the part where it could block. And then after you give up the synchronized block, then you go and you recurse and you call the same thing for all the children. So you start at the root and then you keep on doing that. So we actually at this point have enough information that we could make a fix that we could be somewhat confident in, which is instead of writing over the network inside of the synchronized block, instead, first take an in-memory copy of what that was, then exit the synchronized block, and only then write it out over the network and recurse later on. There's another part of this that we can explain as well, which is why wasn't one of the followers taking over? When we had this outage happen, or when we had this problem happen, if we killed the leader manually, then one of the followers would take over, but it wasn't happening automatically, and it's supposed to. The way that ZooKeeper does its health check, its heartbeat, is that it will send an application-level ping message to all of its followers every couple of seconds. And if the followers don't get that message, then they time out and they try to start an election and become a leader. But the problem here is that there's a separate thread which is doing this heartbeat to all the followers. So even though the threads on the leader responsible for actually processing things are blocked, that one thread is off on the side, still sending out heartbeats, preventing all the followers from, or preventing any of the followers from trying to take over and become a leader. So we've explained most of what we were seeing, why it manifested in two different ways, and why one of the followers wasn't taking over. But we still don't know why that write over the network was blocking for so long. Early on, before this had happened, a lot of times we were a bit slower at fixing it. And we saw this happen for up to at least 10 minutes, where it would stay in the state where the leader was blocked trying to write over the network. Later on, we got quicker at killing the leader. But we had seen this happen for over 10 minutes. So to figure out what happened, why that connection was stuck for so long, we need to dig into TCP a bit. So starting from the state of we have the follower, it's already established a TCP connection to the leader, it's put in a request for the snapshot already. Starting from there, the leader will send a packet to the follower with some data, and the follower, the TCP connection, it will ACK it. That's what normally happens. But what we were seeing was a lot of packet loss, or basically network isolation in the beginning. So when that happens, the leader will try to send a bit of data, and when it doesn't get the acknowledgement back in time, it will keep on retrying after a small delay. This is the retransmission timeout. It's based on the latency between the two nodes, but it's set to a minimum of 200 milliseconds. And then, so if you don't hear back, you retry once. And then if you don't hear back, you keep on retrying, doubling the timeout each time, up to a maximum of 2 minutes between each retry. And you do up to 15 retries. So when you put all that together, what you end up with is a connection that will hang for, at a minimum, 15 and a half minutes. And during all this time, if you try it, the original write that you tried to do over the socket would block. Now, this was something that was surprising to me, but it isn't quite what was happening to us. Because for this to happen, you have to have basically a complete network isolation between the two nodes. But that wasn't what we were seeing. We were seeing a few minutes of network problems, but then after that, everything was fine, except that the connection was still stuck. During that time, the follower process was actually restarted because it couldn't get the snapshot in time. And so the kernel would have closed the TCP connection, or at least it would have tried to. So to figure out what's happening, we need to dig a bit into how you close a connection. So the follower wants to close the connection. When you want to do that, you send a fin packet to the leader. The leader will reply back with a fin ACK, and then you reply to that with an ACK. And once the other side gets that, they can mark the connection closed. And after you've sent that last acknowledgement to them, you'll mark it closed after waiting for 60 seconds for any extra packets to come through. That's what happens normally. But if you have network isolation or packet loss, then you do a similar thing if you have network isolation when you're trying to retransmit data, which is that you retransmit this fin packet, doubling the timeout every time. But in this case, it's a different setting for the number of retries that you'll do. So you only retry 8 times. So after only about a minute and a half or a little bit more, then you'll mark the connection closed. So putting these two together, if you have packet loss, one side can mark the connection closed after a minute 40. The other side still thinks that it's open for over 15 minutes. But normally, or at least for us, the network healed in between. So what is supposed to happen then is if the leader was retrying to send that data packet, if it went through, the follower is supposed to reply with the TCP connection will send back a reset packet to let the leader know that it didn't know about that connection or that it was already closed. And then the leader would be able to mark that that connection closed, and the write would stop blocking. But we were only partially seeing this happen. We weren't seeing the reset packet coming through, but it turns out we were seeing the retransmission coming through. The reason why we were seeing it was because in syslog, we saw on the follower IP tables dropping packets from the leader. These were those retry packets that were sent after the network had healed. Now, here we have a pretty standard firewall. What you do is you allow any established connections through or any packets related to established connections through. Then you allow whatever ports you want to listen on, and you drop everything else. So this is what was happening, that IP tables was dropping these packets because it thought that the connection was closed. One thing you have to keep in mind, though, is that the view that IP tables has of the TCP connection is different from what the other part of the Linux kernel has for the TCP connection. So when you're on a machine and you do netstat and you see a connection is established or time wait or whatever, that's completely different from the view that IP tables has. It could think that it's closed or whatever. It gets that view through the kernel contract module, which just watches packets going across the network and then decides what state it's in, and it has some simple timeouts, but it doesn't really know about retries or anything like that. So what it does is when you want to close a connection and you send that fin packet, it will start a 30-second timer, and then after that, it will forget about the connection. If you retry that fin packet, it'll keep on bumping it up to 30 seconds, but it's just a dumb timer. So when you put those two together, what we have is the follower closes the TCP connection. It keeps on going, retrying the fin packets because we have network isolation going on. And the kernel contract module is bumping up that timeout to 30 seconds every time you're sending a fin packet. But if you look at the timings, you can actually end up with the connection track state of TCP believing it's closed, while if you were to run netstat, you would see that it was in fin wait. So this is actually what was happening to us, where we had network isolation, the follower would close the connection, and then after just a minute and 20 seconds, the follower, the connection tracking code would forget about the connection, and then even if it heals after that, packets would be dropped by IP tables. So now we know exactly what was going on. What would happen is we had some period of packet loss or latency or whatever that would cause the follower to fall behind at least a little bit, enough that it would need to request a snapshot from the leader instead of just catching up from the commit log. So the follower would fall behind, request the snapshot, and the leader starts to send that snapshot to us. It takes the Java lock, it enters the Java synchronized block, holding on to the lock for one data item. But then the connection completely stalls out, and so the follower ends up restarting. It will try to close the connection, and then the packet loss continues, and a minute and 20 seconds goes by, and then on the follower side, the connection tracking code will forget about that connection completely, and now at this point, the network can heal, packets can flow through freely, but the follower will be dropping those packets. And so on the leader side, the TCP connection will be stalled for, at a minimum, 15 and a half minutes. So a few things that we've learned from this. First one is that the way that we actually fix this in ZooKeeper is you shouldn't take a lock and then perform a potentially blocking operation. And writing to a TCP connection can block for a very long time. The other part, it only kind of came into play here, but in ZooKeeper, I noticed that we were writing to an interface. We were calling just some generic output archive write method, and that ended up writing to a network and blocking. But you could imagine a different scenario where maybe you had written some code, it used an interface, and initially when you wrote it, there were no implementations that could block for any significant amount of time. But later on, somebody could add one, and that would break your code and cause a problem like this. So it can make the analysis of your code quite a bit a bit more challenging to see that it's correct. The other lesson that we have is that any time you have any kind of replicated system, leader-follower-based, where the leader is sending heartbeats to the followers, that heartbeat should be a deep health check. If you do anything less than make sure that that the leader would be able to make progress in your health check, then you can end up with the system in a state like what we saw, where basically the only thing that was healthy was the thread that's sending out the heartbeat, preventing a follower from taking over. But if the leader were to die, then it would have been fine, but still you have that thread preventing it from taking over. I should mention that you don't have to panic. A lot of you use Zookeeper. This is fixed in the latest version. We submitted a patch where I did something similar to what I mentioned before. Just take a copy of the item under the synchronized block and then write it out outside of that. Thank you all for listening. Any questions?
You said that the health check should be deep. Has there been any motion on making Zookeeper's Are You OK go deep? Right, so Are You OK should say, yes, I'm OK because I can see that my other thread is still moving.
So I have some ideas about changes that I want to make to stuff like that. I don't think there's been any movement on Are You OK. There has been some changes to some monitoring over what they call the critical threads, so those threads that process requests, where if they die, at least before, they could die because they threw an exception, and it would be in this kind of stuck state. They've done some changes to improve that, although it wouldn't quite catch this deadlock condition. It only would catch the exceptions. But I do have some ideas about changes to make it.
It's a really interesting problem. I've never thought about it. I'm thinking about my own servers, and it's like, oh, they probably have that same problem.
Yeah, I'll bet if you look, like, lots of systems seem to have this problem where, the leader to follower heartbeat is another case where you want it to be a deep health check as well. Any other questions?
It seems like distributed locks and distributed transactions are extremely difficult to troubleshoot, especially when you have Byzantine failures, right? So, and this system seems like on this CAP continuum, it's more with CA rather than, it's not partition tolerant, in other words. So I was wondering if there's any thought or any work to move away from distributed locks and transactions to a much more simpler model.
So moving away from these distributed locks would be pretty tough. It's really nice to have that guarantee that other people aren't touching the data that you're trying to touch. And because the underlying system itself, Cassandra, doesn't give that, it's nice to have something on top. So we probably aren't going to move away to that, move away from having these distributed locks. But the other part about Zookeeper being CA and not partition tolerant, that's kind of true. But I've got a whole bunch of ideas about this. But basically, the short version is that even though it's not partition tolerant in the CAP sense, it is still highly available in the sense that you care about. So you can have, we have a 5-node cluster spread across 3 data centers. We can lose 1 data center. We can have a partition between it. And Zookeeper is still available for us and still consistent. So it does give you high availability, but it doesn't give you kind of cap availability. Yep.
So you mentioned that the deep check should include some kind of writes, but doesn't that like, it becomes a very heavy check because it now needs a quorum to actually make that write a success. So you now require a bunch of hosts to interact for a single heartbeat to succeed between 2 hosts.
You're talking about just the heartbeat or the are you okay part?
The heartbeat. You said that instead of a simple check, it should probably be a deeper check as a heartbeat, right?
Okay, yeah. So this is probably a bit confusing, but what I mean by a deep health check in these cases, for the heartbeat, what I would want is for that, instead of just having a thread off on its own, sending out the heartbeat to all of the followers, I would want that to go through some of the request processing logic first to make sure that all of them are still actually alive and processing things. So I wouldn't have you go out over the network or anything before then again going out of the network. It would just be more of a local, make sure everything locally is still working, that you can still write to disk, kind of go through all of that stuff before writing out the, before sending that heartbeat out over the network. Okay, if you have any more questions, I'll be at the PagerDuty booth or in the hallway. You can catch me later. Thank you very much.